I'm Ron DeLegge, inventor of the Portfolio Report Card, which tells you if your investment plan is on or off track. No more guessing about your investment portfolio's fees, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started. Find out if your IRA, 401k plan, and investment account passes or fails. Take off the blinders and invest with confidence. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started and find out if your investment plan passes or fails.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, arbitraging Chanel handbags. It must end. Also coming up, I'll do a portfolio report card on today's show for RC in Northern California. He sent me his investment portfolio. It's a $563,000 portfolio. It consists of 12 mutual funds, 6 ETFs, and 1 individual stock. Does it pass or does it fail? You're going to find out on today's show. And if you'd like to tweet the program live, we're here at Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also email us, ron@indexshow.com. This is where we teach you about the birds and the bees of successful investing. It's all about building an investment portfolio that can perform in any market climate, not just good ones. Now, the time you prepare your portfolio for difficult times, it's just like buying insurance. You buy insurance when the house is doing fine. You don't buy insurance when the house is on fire. You don't buy insurance after the house is burned to the ground. And so your investment portfolio is very much the same thing. You insure your home. You insure your automobile. You should have a margin of safety in your portfolio. You should be preparing your portfolio for the fire, ahead of the fire. And we all have to do this. Each of us has a different level of margin of safety in our portfolio. Some of us cannot afford to take big risks in our portfolio just because we're at a point in our life where we just can't afford to suffer a major setback. Others have a higher degree of risk tolerance, as they say, or they have a higher, they can absorb a higher level of risk in their portfolio, because of the fact that they may be younger and they may have a longer time investment time horizon. So this is something that your portfolio, whether it consists of an IRA, 401k plan, a taxable account, a trust account, this is what your portfolio should reflect, absolutely. And all portfolios, besides having the right ingredients of low cost, broadly diversified proxies of the market, besides that, they should be age appropriate, and that is another factor. So we're going to get into RC's $563,000 investment portfolio on today's show. Before we do that, let's just take a quick gander and see what's happening in financial markets beginning this past week with the Federal Reserve basically holding off on its plans to increase short-term interest rates. And a lot of speculation about when the Federal Reserve will begin increasing interest rates. So far, it's not happening. And the market celebrated that. We saw a spike in stocks this past week. Now, on a year-to-date basis, total U.S. stock market, ticker symbol VTI, up 3.5%. And international stocks from developed countries around the world, like Japan and Canada and Europe and Germany and places around the world, developed countries, VEA up almost 8%. So international stocks are outperforming U.S. stocks since the beginning of the year, lagging our emerging market stocks, which are down 1.7% VWO. The bond market, ticker symbol BND, total U.S. bond market here in the U.S. ahead by 1.5%. REITs has been a good performing industry sector, REITs is an acronym for Real Estate Investment Trusts, ahead by 7.5% since the beginning of the year. And REITs, of course, jumping on the fact that interest rates are going to remain low. That's very good for sectors like REITs and utilities, which actually utilities have been underperforming, but both are interest rate sensitive sectors, and lower rates continues to be a good thing for both of these sectors. And then one final area, TIPS, also known as Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, up 1.5%. That's what's going on a year-to-date basis. We'll get you drilled up and drilled down on what some of the key industry sectors within the market are doing. Something else I'd like to talk about too, if I get some time, and I'm going to try to make some time for this, is something better than smart beta. I don't know if you've heard this word, this cute word trick, this cute word invention by the ETF industry. They call it smart beta, which is something they're trying to describe, something that doesn't exist. Smart beta. It's similar to other non-existent concepts like harmless explosives and pain-free amputation and mild hot sauce, and risk-free smoking. There is no such thing as any of those things, and there is no such thing as smart beta. A beta can be strategic, beta can be alternative, but beta is never smart. It doesn't exist. But none of this has slowed this smart beta fad one iota. And a fad it is, I tell you. So I want to tell you and share with you on today's show something better than allegedly smart beta. I'm going to share with you a very simple strategy that has just blown the pants off of smart beta. And you probably haven't heard about it. So stay tuned for that. Again, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every week at this same hour. Now, if you ever miss our regular radio broadcast for whatever reason, you can pick up our program. It's available on iTunes. It's also available on Stitcher. You can listen to all of our archived shows as podcasts. And I encourage you also to give our show a review. Let others know what you think about the program. And that certainly helps us to obviously know how you feel, but also helps others to find the show. Now, let's give you some basics on RC in Northern California. He's got a $563,000 portfolio. 563 is the figure. Let me give you the exact figure. 563,051. Okay, so just over $563,000, just to be exact, for you accountants listening to the show, because I know you like to be precise, and so do I. So he's 57 years old. He's single. He's an operations manager. He works in the home building sector, and he has got a rollover IRA, a Roth IRA, a brokerage account, and a 401k account, and also a savings account. So these are five separate investment accounts. We're looking at them on a combined basis, and we're going to see if the orientation of this portfolio is helping him or hurting him. Now, he self-manages this $563,000 of investments. His main investment strategy, he told me, is for long-term growth. His focus is not really generating income. He's 57 years old, and he also told me that his focus is to receive a greater than average return and to continuously grow his money. His tolerance for risk, and this is an important question, one is the lowest, 10 is the highest. He told me he's a 7. So he's a little bit on the higher end in terms of being able to take risk or risk tolerance. And he also considers himself a long-term investor with at least 5 or 10 years to go before he starts withdrawing any of this money for retirement purposes. How would you describe yourself and your investing style? That's an important question. He told me, RC, that he's organized, he's patient, he's somewhat knowledgeable, and he says that he's balanced. He considers himself a balanced investor with a 50-50 split between growth and income. What worries you? He told me that retirement is worrying him, and staying healthy. So this is his focus and his concerns. We're going to look at some of his individual holdings in his portfolio and see if he passes or fails. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right. Welcome back from the break. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. And we've been hearing a lot about the turmoil in the currency market. Now, the 21% crash in the euro over the past year has officially landed on the fashion runway. Beginning on April 8th, Chanel is raising the prices of three of its classic handbags by 20% in Europe, according to the Wall Street Journal. Why are they doing this? Well, here's what's been going on, and this is why the arbitraging in Chanel handbags must end. People have been raiding Chanel stores in Europe, buying handbags that cost $3,500 and reselling them in China for $6,000. Now, the culprit behind these huge price discrepancies in Chanel handbags is the sagging euro, which now sits at 12-year lows. For now, prices are going to remain unchanged in the U.S., but other European-based fashion brands are expected to follow Chanel's move. And this is just another example of many that's illustrative of the madness in the currency markets, and it's making a global impact, even in the hoity-toity market for luxury goods. Nobody is insulated from the disorder, including Asian arbitragers. So that's what's going on there. And some of the ETFs that have exposure to some of these areas with weak currencies have equity exposure, but what they do is they hedge exposure to these weak currencies while at the same time remaining long these various securities in these local or regional markets. For example, the WisdomTree European Hedged Equity ETF, HEDJ is the ticker on that one, and that one holds exposure to European stocks, ex-euro currency exposure. That's been a good one. It's actually outperformed its VGK counterpart, which is the Vanguard European ETF, which just has exposure to European stocks and also euro. So that's the current trend for your tactical money. If you want to be long some of these areas, X a certain currency, whether that be X euro or X Japanese yen, these are some of the ETFs that would be ideal choices for that type of strategy. Now, let's before we do our portfolio report card for RC, let's send out a portfolio challenge to all of my listeners. Does your portfolio score an A, B, C, D, or F? And the reason I ask that is because all portfolios are either soundly built or unsoundly built. And the question is your portfolio, is your investment mix helping you or hurting you? Is it architecturally sound? Because there is a standard for well-built portfolios versus portfolios that are not well-built. And the standard is called Ron DeLegge's Portfolio Report Card, a unique, innovative system that I developed that will help you understand the strengths and the weaknesses of your portfolio in five areas: cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And that is what we will be doing on today's program with RC's $563,000 investment portfolio. We will be grading it in each of these five areas. Now, if he gets an A, if you're able to get an A, I pay you $100. If you get a B, well, that's not an A, but it's a good score. And if you get a B, we will celebrate, but we will not pay you $100. But when you get an A, and we haven't had many on this show, I'm still waiting for an A, this is what happens. We call in the Portfolio Report Card Marching Band, and this is what they play. So we call in the tubas and the trombones and the cymbals, and they get together and they celebrate an A. It's a great way to encourage you to build your portfolio the right way. And this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, because for a very long time, there has been no standard for what represents a well-built portfolio versus a poorly built portfolio. Now, there's some people out there that will say to you, well, performance is the only thing that matters. Well, that's kind of true, but it's not 100% true. And the reason it's not 100% true is because everything that you do risk-wise, everything that you do in terms of diversification, everything that you do in terms of the cost and the tax liabilities of your portfolio, all of those things impact your performance, whether you admit it or not, whether you like it or not. And so performance is not this thing that we can just take and separate and pretend like nothing else impacts performance, that the way that you get performance is by just picking whatever stocks or funds are the hottest, and that's how you get performance. That's what we might say satisfactory. Well, that's not true. It's not true at all. In fact, the people that ignore these other things are the ones that often have unsatisfactory performance. So RC's $563,000 portfolio, we already told you a little bit about him. He's 57 years old. He's single. He works in the home construction building area of work-wise. And so he's got a rollover IRA. It consists of mutual funds with Vanguard. And all he's got, let's see, 12 mutual funds, 6 ETFs, and 1 individual stock. So here's what he's got in terms of ticker symbols, and I'm going to share these with you. In the rollover IRA, he's got ticker symbol VIPSX, VFIAX, VGSLX, VSMAX, VPTLX, VTIAX. Now, he's got, if you're a Vanguard investor, some of these ticker symbols will be familiar to you because they are popular ticker symbols. They're mutual funds that are pretty widely held. Now, in the Roth IRA, he's got mostly ETFs, VYM, MGK, VXUS, VTI, VWO. Those are some of the funds held in the Roth IRA. The brokerage account has, and this is the taxable account, just one mutual fund, VTSAX. So when we add all of this up, and then he's got the 401k plan, we add all this up, it comes out to about $563,000, just over that. So let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. This portfolio has expense ratios on the funds it owns and the ETFs it owns on the low end, 5 basis points. That's 0.05%. Very good. The lower your expense ratios, the better. And on the high end, 0.70%, which is just under 0.75%. Now, those funds on the higher end are in his current 401k plan, which he's a participant, and those funds charge the higher expenses of 0.70%. If we blend out the expenses altogether between the low and the high, well, his expenses are right in line with our benchmark, and he's done a very good job at minimizing cost. And that's exactly what all investors should be doing, deliberately minimizing the impact of not just fund expenses, but also trading commissions, back-end redemption charges, and also any type of other hidden costs within the portfolio. Now, it's okay to be paying a fee to a financial advisor if someone's helping you to manage your money. There's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, those fees should absolutely be reasonable and be in line with the amount of work that's actually being done. And they should also, those fees, by the way, be transparent, 100% transparent and upfront. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLeggi, doing a portfolio report card today for RC in Northern California. He's 57 years old. He is a single, and we just looked at the cost of his $563,000 portfolio. So far, so good. We're going to look at diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance coming up next. Be here or be nowhere.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to etfguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So the guidelines for receiving a portfolio report card are pretty simple. First of all, you go to portfolioreportcard.com, make the request. That's number one. But number two, your portfolio has to have at least 1 year of performance history. If you don't have at least 1 year of performance history, then you can't get a report card. The other thing is you got to be organized and have all of your account statements handy. I grade portfolios from $75,000, that's the minimum value, all the way up to $10 billion. So no portfolio is too small or too big for Ron DeLegge. And also, I deal with people that are honest, open, transparent, and want to improve. So those are the other guidelines and rules. I don't deal with people that are dishonest. I don't deal with people that are combative. I don't deal with people that want to argue and fight. So those are the guidelines for getting a portfolio report card. And again, if you get an A, I pay you $100. Go to portfolioreportcard.com. If you missed last week's program, I did a report card on a pretty big portfolio, $4.2 million investment portfolio. You could check that out. It's available on our podcast at iTunes. Just search under the Index Investing Show, and you can also check that out at Stitcher Radio. Now, let's continue with our report card for RC in Northern California. He's 57 years old, single. He's a growth investor. That's his main focus. And he's got $563,000. He's doing a pretty good job at minimizing the cost of his portfolio. Now, let's take a look at the next area, diversification. Now, this portfolio does have exposure to U.S. stocks. It has exposure to international stocks and emerging market stocks and bonds and real estate and cash. Outstanding! Well done! Those are the major asset classes right there. Most of them, at least. And what were those, by the way? In case you're wondering, what are the major asset classes? Stocks, bonds, cash, real estate. Oops! He's missing one exposure to one of the major asset classes, and that is commodities. Commodities, which is an area that a lot of people miss. Nevertheless, a major asset class. He has no exposure to that area, so that's a shortcoming. Also, he's got around $150,000, $151,000 invested in individual stock. It's a stock in the home building sector, Lowe's. Ticker symbol LOW. So the idea there is, in terms of diversification, he should have his major asset classes covered before he starts investing in individual stocks and other non-core asset classes. So that is also a shortcoming. He can definitely improve in terms of diversification. In terms of risk, and that's the next grading category, and the risk of your portfolio should always match up. The risk character of that portfolio should always match up with you and your risk tolerance and who you are as an investor. It should also be age appropriate. Now, their overall asset mix for this $563,000 account, and it consists of, like I said, five different accounts, but we're looking at it in a combined basis. And the overall asset mix is 84% stocks, 12% bonds, 3% real estate, and 1% cash. Now, he's 57 years old. He's got another 5 or 10 years to go before retirement. And the question is, does his current asset mix, does it align with his, who he is, RC? Well, this is a hyper-aggressive mix, even for a 57-year-old aggressive investor with the main goal as growth. 84% in stocks. And then he's got 26% of his portfolio in one individual stock, which is Lowe's, ticker symbol LOW. This is very, very risky to be keeping that much exposure to stocks and also to have 25% of your portfolio banking on the performance of one company. Now, overall, a 20 to 40% stock market decline, and it has happened in the past and it will happen in the future, would result in a decline or serious damage of this portfolio, potential losses of $94,000 to $189,000 in potential losses. It would be very significant. So in terms of risk, RC's portfolio definitely needs to be making some improvements, because I can tell you right now, this portfolio is very pro-equities. Nothing wrong with equities as an asset class, but there is something wrong when the exposure of your portfolio to a certain asset class, whether that be equities, bonds, or something else, does not align risk-wise with who you are. So got to definitely improve in terms of risk. If you're just joining us, this is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every week at this same hour talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. We'll take a look at RC's portfolio in terms of tax efficiency and performance coming up next, and then we'll give him a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Does he pass or does he fail? What type of performance did he get over the past year on this $563,000 portfolio? If you're curious, stay tuned. You're going to find out. We talked a little bit earlier about smart beta, or what I should say, allegedly smart beta, this cute word invention by the ETF industry to describe something that absolutely does not exist. Beta is never smart. Beta can be alternative. Beta can be strategic. But smart beta is this cute word invention to describe a non-existent concept, something that doesn't exist. You know, like unicorns, or harmless explosives, or pain-free amputation, or mild hot sauce. None of these things exist. Harmless smoking. I mean, it all sounds wonderful, but it doesn't exist. And smart beta, and I'm going to share with you a strategy that's blown away allegedly smart beta, and these fantastic sounding strategies. By the way, a couple of months ago on this show, I shared with you three examples of so-called smart beta with dumb results. And I highlighted as proof of that three so-called smart beta bond ETFs that have lagged conventional bond funds over the past several years. Conventional bond funds have blown away the allegedly smart beta bond funds. But in this particular segment, I want to highlight to you in the equity area, a simple strategy that has blown away so-called smart beta. And it's the strategy of equal weighting. Have you heard about this? Equal weighting hasn't just trounced smart beta, but it's trounced traditional market cap weighted indexes and ETFs. The Guggenheim S&P 500 Equal Weight ETF, ticker symbol RSP, has gained 141% over the past 10 years, compared to a gain of just 117% for the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY, and a gain of just 106% for the PowerShares FTSE RAFI U.S. so-called smart beta ETF, PRF is the ticker symbol on that one. Now, RSP owns the same 500 stocks in the S&P 500, but what it does, it assigns an equal weight of 0.20% to each stock, and then it rebalances every quarter. You want to talk about a simple strategy? Just take all 500 of those stocks and give them the same representation in the index. So Apple is no bigger than Cisco. Cisco is no bigger than AT&T. AT&T is no bigger than Goldman Sachs. They're all the same. That's what an equal weight index does. And that's what RSP has done, and it's whipped the performance of smart beta ETFs in its same category along with traditional market cap weighted ETFs. Beware of geeks bearing formulas was Warren Buffett's warning about Wall Street right after the financial crisis. And given the street's relentless obsession with algorithm-driven financial models for selecting and assembling portfolios of stocks, we can say the same thing. Beware of the geeks. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Right, the April issue of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter is out for your tactical and strategic money. If you want to overweight and underweight particular sectors, if you want to use leverage, if you want to invest in non-core asset classes like volatility and the such and the like, go to ETFguide.com and click on the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, become a subscriber. Also included in this month's issue is my monthly income trade. A very simple strategy where we just sell covered calls every single month to generate additional income. We do that on an all ETF portfolio. And the hypothetical value of our portfolio is $100,000. It has been that way since I launched this portfolio in February of 2012. And it's called the Income Mix Portfolio. It's generated since February of 2012 almost $31,000 of income over that time frame. And if we divide this up on a monthly basis, about $825 of monthly income using this covered call strategy. So I list the specific ETF tickers and the moves that we made for April. And we always do our income trades 1 month in advance. So right now it's still March. That's why we're doing our April income trade. And in April, we'll be doing our May income trade. This is how it works, always 1 month in advance. So those of you looking for more income, alternative sources besides dividends and interest income, go again to ETFguide.com and subscribe to the Profit Strategy newsletter. Also included, for those of you that like cartoons, our cartoon of the month is the Euro sitting on a couch. He's in his psychologist's office. And he's sitting on a couch, and his psychologist is sitting in his chair, analyzing the euro. And his question is, how long have you had these feelings of worthlessness? Oh, what a great question. So that's what the euro, that's the question that the analysts are asking the euro right now. Probably that's the same picture. You can swap the euro for the yen and the Brazilian real. Pretty much everything but the dollar. How long have you had these feelings of worthlessness? We could probably conduct the same analysis too, by the way, on the dollar. How long have you had these feelings of greatness, of self-worth? Anyway, again, ETFguide.com, don't miss it. And we also have, and I'll share this tidbit with you, a breakdown of the global equity market. I call it my global equity map. So those of us that like pictures, I like pictures. I like to see the world in a picture. And that's what my global equity map is. Shows you all the hot spots in the market regionally. And really, if we look at the entire globe, there's only three areas that are in negative territory since the beginning of the year in terms of equity performance. And those three areas are South America, Latin America, Brazil being part of that, and then Canada. And those three ETFs, EWC, ILF, and EWZ, those three areas down in negative territory on a year-to-date basis. The rest of the globe is up. So that is the current trend. In terms of global equity performance, it's still up. In terms of sector performance, S&P 500 sector performance, only one, actually two sectors are in, actually one sector is in negative territory. That's XLU, that tracks utility stocks, down about 4%. Everything else is up. So 8 of 9 S&P industry sectors in positive territory, with healthcare being the best performer, XLV ahead by almost 10%. Healthcare stocks, I just keep going up and up and up. So that's been a bonanza. And there's a lot of things driving that. Of course, the longer term factor has been demographics and just more spending and research and development on this, in this particular sector. But on a short-term basis, it's been mergers and acquisitions activity in subsectors of healthcare like pharmaceuticals and biotechnology. Those two areas have been really the hot, the stars of the healthcare sector. So that that kind of gives you an idea of what's going on there. Let's get back to our portfolio report card for RC and see what kind of grade he gets on his $563,000 investment portfolio, which consists of a rollover IRA, a Roth IRA, a 401k plan, a taxable account. And altogether, we add up all this money, and he comes up with $563,000. Now, in terms of tax efficiency, that's our next grading category. The idea here is to have a portfolio that purposely minimizes the negative impact of taxes to the greatest degree possible. Now, how does a person do this? Do you need to be a CPA? Do you need to be good at math? Do you need to be an accounting major in order to build a tax-efficient portfolio? I know it sounds complicated. The minute I mention the word taxes and tax efficiency, I probably lose half my audience. But the point here that I want you to understand is that you don't have to be a mathematician or an accountant to have a tax-efficient portfolio. There's two very simple ways to build a tax-efficient portfolio. Number one, own tax-efficient assets. The easiest way to do this, people, is by owning low-cost, broadly diversified, tax-efficient index funds, index ETFs. Ta-da! That's one strategy. The other strategy is by having these assets located in the right types of accounts. So what we're talking about is smart asset location, and you take certain assets like your bonds and your real estate investment trust and your MLPs, and you purposely and deliberately put those in your tax-deferred accounts, things like your IRA, things like your 401k plan, because those kinds of assets aren't very tax efficient. So they are best held in your tax deferred accounts. And then all the other stuff, like your equities, whether they be international or domestic, that can be held in your taxable account. And guess what you've got after you do that? Tax efficiency. Now, a part of this also is not doing anything dumb that would hurt the tax efficiency of your investment portfolio. An example: taking premature distributions from a 401k plan or an IRA and paying 10% penalty and paying income taxes and taking premature distributions for non-retirement expenses. Not a good idea. And certainly that would damage the tax efficiency of your portfolio. So in terms of his combined tax efficiency on all these accounts, RC is doing a great job. No evidence of 401k loans or premature distributions. Outstanding. That's the way it should be done. Last up is performance. This portfolio grew over the past year $40,000 or 7.8%. And that compares to an 8.6% return for a blended index benchmark matching his same asset mix of 84% stocks, 12% bonds, 3% REITs, and 1% cash. So he underperformed slightly. We had a 8.6% return. He had a 7.8% return. Still, I would say that's within range of being satisfactory. And RC's final portfolio report card is a B. That is a fine score, a B. And his strongest areas were minimizing costs. He did best in minimizing taxes. Good job. His diversification was okay. He could still be a lot better in that area. And in terms of his worst category, that was risk. This particular grading category, he failed. He's got 26% of his assets allocated to one stock, ticker symbol LOW, and then he's got 84% exposure to stocks altogether. And for a 57-year-old aggressive investor, that is hyper-aggressive. That's not aggressive. That's hyper-aggressive, and it's unacceptable. It's not age-appropriate, and it also doesn't line up with his goal of wanting to retire in 5 to 10 years. If we get a serious downturn in that time frame, he's going to take a beating. He's going to take a beating, and now is the time to fix it, RC. Fix it, fix it, fix it. And that's the whole point of the report card. Not just identify problems, but help you to fix what's wrong with your portfolio. If you want a report card, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get in touch with me. Thanks for listening to the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.